Okay, we are up to Malachim Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph. And this Perek is the downfall of Shlomo HaMelech, the last Perek, really the end of the first half of the Sefer, the first half being the story of David and Shlomo, and the second half of the Sefer being all the other kings that are going to come up, and the split of the Malchus. But we have here Shlomo HaMelech, the Navi describes, takes many wives of non-Jewish nations, and they turn his heart away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as he gets old, Shlomo HaMelech was only 52 years old. Remember, he was 12 years old when he became the king, and he was king for 40 years, just like his father was the king for 40 years. They turned his heart, and he did not follow Hashem as David HaMelech did, and he even, the Pesukim describe, followed Avodah Zarah. We'll have to talk about that. He built a Bama to other gods. He followed in the ways of his wives, and Hashem gets very angry. And Hashem tells him through the Navi that because he hasn't fulfilled his promise, he hasn't fulfilled being true to the Torah, the Malchus is going to be split. The Malchus will be torn away. Not like what happened in the days of Shaul, that I'm going to tear it from you and give it to someone else, because there's a promise that it always has to be with David HaMelech, Lo Yosef Shevet Yehuda. So it's going to be taken, at least part of it, and be given to someone else. But Hashem says to Shlomo, not in your day, because I promised your father, but in the days of your son, Avrochavam, we'll see, there will be a split. And then the Navi describes how there were three Sitna, there were three people up against Shlomo for in the end of his days. Hadad, again, a tremendous contrast from what we've had the last couple of prakim. Hadad ha-Adomi is one of the enemies, Rizon ben El-Yada, and finally, the real one, and that is Yeravam. Yeravam ben Nevat, who will end up being the first king of Israel, as we will see. He rebels against Shlomo, as we will talk about, and then the last section of the parak deals with that Achiah HaShiloni, one of the elder statesman, one of the Nevi'im at the time, finds Yeravam in the field and tells him. He takes his beged, he rips it into 12 portions, and he says, you're going to take 10 portions, because 10 of the Shvatim are going to be with you. The other one is going to be with Shlomo and Malchus Beis David. But you should realize that Shlomo has not kept his word of following the Torah, and therefore Hashem is taking the Malchus from him. You, if you keep the Torah, then you'll have your dynasty last. If not, as is known. But he tells this to him, and then the parak ends off with the last days of Shlomo. Shlomo dies, and he is buried in Ir David Aviv, and Rechavam, his son, David's grandson, takes over. So that's the parak, Shlomo's end, which is not, he does not go out on top, according to the Navi, and Rechavam takes over. So the main issue that we have to deal with in this parak is, how did it happen? What exactly happened? Shlomo was the wisest of all men. He had everything. He had riches. He had wisdom. He had peace. He had everything. So what happened? Right? It's very difficult to understand. And we have to realize that this is Shlomo HaMelech. Right? We're not talking about someone who, you know, any biblical figure, but for surely Shlomo HaMelech. So the Gemara says, and we have to explain what the Gemara means, but the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Aleph Mabez, right, we cannot impute any sin to Shlomo that Chazal does not say, but we can expand on what Chazal say. Chazal say, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mipnei Malon is Galut Tamei Torah. Why weren't the reasons for Losa says mitzvahs given? Why doesn't the Torah say all the reasons why you can't do an Aveira? Because there were two Aveiras in the Torah, the Torah says the reasons, and people said, oh, I'm not going to fall for that reason, and therefore I'm allowed to do the Aveira. And therefore, the Torah didn't say anymore. Right? What to? Lo yarba lo nashim, lo yarba lo susim. A king shouldn't have too many wives, because they might turn his heart. Shlomo says, ani arbe velo aser. I'm not worried. I'm smart enough. I'm strong enough. I can get married to extra women, and they're not going to turn my heart. And too many horses, right? Too much money doesn't give a reason, because it's obvious that money can bring you away. But the Gemara says that Shlomo HaMelech followed his heart, did not listen to what the Torah said, and violated. But what's the message? What's the message? Why did he do it? And what's the message for us that he violated? So the ultimate message, before we get to some of the explanations, is whatever the Aveira is, Shlomo HaMelech made cheshbonos. He made a cheshbin. He tried to figure something out. He was trying to be mitchakeh more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu and more than the mitzvah. And that was a problem. No matter what the cheshbin is, you can't cheshbin mitzvos. Right? That's what we learn from Shlomo HaMelech. Right? There are many. The Vilna Gaon talks about this in his commentary on Mishlei. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something is aser. It's aser. You know, we can't try to outsmart, right? The Gra says that's the pasuk in Mishlei that Shlomo HaMelech himself wrote is referring to himself in Perachav Hey. Hoka raglecha mi beis reyecha. Keep your foot heavy from the house of your reya. That's referring to the Yetzirah. Stay away from the Yetzirah. Don't put yourself into the situation. Shlomo HaMelech thought he could deal with the Yetzirah and he could control it. But even Shlomo HaMelech couldn't bear once the Yetzirah got started. And the message being that we have to make sure that we don't try to outsmart. There's even an unbelievable extreme Gemara. The Gemara said Hedrin Kuf Dalet talking about in Chelek that there was a time when the Ashkenazic Gadolah were thinking that Shlomo shouldn't even get a Chelek in Olam Haba. They were talking about it. Very unusual Gemara. The Ben Yoyada says the Gemara goes through. He shouldn't, but then David came in and fought for him. And he shouldn't, but he built the base of Migdash. And he shouldn't, and all the reasons. The message really, what the Ashkenazic Gadolah were interested that Shlomo shouldn't get Olam Haba. So the Ben Yoyada says, no, it means that Ashkenazic Gadolah wanted to flesh out every reason why he might not get and then have it rejected. So that he does get Olam Haba. Just the opposite. They wanted in Shemayim that there shouldn't be an issue of Shlomo's going to Olam Haba, even though this is where he ended up. So therefore they brought up every reason and thought against it. But there are other ideas that could be used to explain this sin. We'll mention three. Number one is a Kabbalistic reason. Right, Kabbalistic reason. There is a concept, the Mishpat Zozov deals with this, quoting from the Alshech HaKadosh, that the Alshech discusses how Bnei Yisrael fell at the Chet HaEgel. Eich Nechshulu, right, they were Adar Deya, they saw unbelievable things. How'd they fall? And Shaul HaMelech, Shaul was a tzaddik, Shaul was a chacham. And look what happened, the rest of his life he spends trying to assassinate David. This is Shaul HaMelech, explains the Mishpat Zozov, yes, everybody has Bechira Chavshis. But it could be that Hashem takes away the special protection that one usually has because of these prosecuting forces that are put into, like, the Satan, or whatever it is, the Yetzirah doesn't want, it's not time for the world to reach its destiny yet. For Mashiach v'chulu, and that's why the Satan came along and sent the Nachash to Adam. And that's why the Chet HaEgel, imagine if Am Yisrael would have gone into Eretz Yisrael right away. And that's why Shaul HaMelech, the first king, it could have been done, finished. Perfect destiny, skip any tzaris. No. The Satan comes and we can't say that they didn't have Bechira, but it was somewhat weighted to that side that there could be sin. And maybe Shlomo HaMelech also, right, because of the Klai Yisrael were in the perfect state at this time, and the Satan, or the prosecuting forces, one might say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't ready for history to be over. Wasn't ready for the ultimate Geula to come, and therefore this happened. So yes, he's at fault, but he's not as at fault as one would be if they had the perfect divine protection. Again, that's a more of a Kabbalistic idea. But there are two other ideas that are important just on a pshat level, or as close to a pshat level as we can. There are those that say that maybe Shlomo HaMelech did this in order to strengthen his malchus. The best way to strengthen the malchus, you have peace, is to marry into other nations. If you are married into other nations, that itself is a covenant. And that's a way to strengthen. And Shlomo maybe thought to himself, he still made a mistake, but maybe his mistake was that he thought strengthening this overrides those averus. I could do this with all these women because the whole purpose is to strengthen the malchus. So maybe, or I'm the chacham mikol adam, so it doesn't apply to me. But that's one idea that the Klal Yoker suggests, that the matara of Shlomo was lahamid v'vaseisus amalchus, so that all of the nations could be kafuf. And the answer is, the mistake was, again, like we said, you can't be mischakeim neged the mitzvahs. If it's, you can't do it, you can't do it. We don't do Averis Lashma anymore. Maybe Ya'el, in the days of the Navi, she was the only one. Eshes Chever Akeni, she did it in order to kill, direct, save Klal Yisrael. But generally, Averis Lashma are not done. That's on a more practical level. On a little more deep level, many Sfarim quote the Arizal, who suggests that maybe the point is that Shlomo HaMelech thought it was the time that we mentioned for Geula, and it was the time for Yemos HaMashiach. And what he was trying to do was to collect all the Nitzotzos HaKadusha, all of the goodness from the other nations. He was trying to bring in to the to Am Yisrael. And when it says that he loved the women, the Medrash says that he was ma'ahev. He tried to bring them close, to be la'hivan, la'ahavan, ula'karvan, ula'gairan, ula'achnisan, tachas kanfi ashchina. That's the lashon of the Shir Shirim Rabba, the Medrash. And the Be'er Moshe quotes all of this and says maybe that's what the problem was. His kavanas were trying to bring them in, but it didn't work, because it wasn't time for the Geula yet, and he shouldn't have done this, because it doesn't say that he's supposed to do it, and that's why it's described in the Navi as it was. His kavanas aren't mentioned, just the act was done. He did all this, because it's very hard, says the Be'er Moshe, to say that he actually married women he wasn't allowed to marry, and brought mamish avodah zarah. Why? Because you know what the pasuk says? He followed Hashem, but not as much as David. If he did avodah zarah, it's not on the same playing field. What do you mean? Oh, not as much as David. Of course not as much as David. Right? So that can't be. Number two, why does it say Dafka, as we'll see, 700 wives and 300 concubines? Exactly. There must be some type of rent. We know seven. Seven is always a unit. The 10 Sviros have seven and three. Right? There are hints that there's something more symbolic going on here. The Pasuk says later on, and Pasuk tests, Hashem gets angry at Shlomo because he spoke to him twice and look what he did. If he actually did Avodah Zarah and did Averis, so Hashem would be angry at him because he did Averis, not just because, oh, he spoke to him and look what he did. So there are many hints, says the Be'er Moshe, that we can't take these psukim so literally as the Gemara says. The Gemara says, if somebody says Shlomo was Chote, you know, Latoa. So that means if you say he was Chote, like the literal meaning of the words, he obviously did something wrong. He lost the Malchus was split, but it can't be that it was just literally as is described because of all the rayas that we just mentioned. Okay, so this is all just a couple of things to think about as we get into the actual story, but it's there's a lot more, but these are just some food for thought. Okay, so here we go. So, Vamelech Shlomo Ahav, and here we get to some of the extreme psukim. The king Shlomo loved Nashim Nachrios Rabos, many strange women, many stranger women. Vespas Paro, that one said separately, Rashi says, because she was already married. She was the most chaviv. Moavios, Ammonios, Adomios, Tzednios, Chitios, all these nations. Again, it's very difficult. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out, there's an Isra, even if someone converts, right, there's a major machlokas we've shown him. Did Shlomo convert all these women? Or he married them while they were not Jewish. It's a machlokas in the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos. The Rambam says it has to be he converted them. It has to be. It's Shlomo HaMelech. The pasuk says that they were strange because the Rambam says it was as if he didn't convert them. Why? Because we know the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Isurei Biyah, in Perek Yud Gimel, that they generally did not accept any converts in the times of David and Shlomo. Because everybody would do it, not l'shem shamayim. Remember, they were on top of the world. We don't want converts. We don't believe in missionizing. Right? We don't want people to come. So he did convert them. Says Shlomo, says the Rambam, Al yala al daitecha, sheshimshon ha-moshiyah es Yisrael. O Shlomo melech Yisrael, shenikra yedidya, nasu nashim nachrios b'kiyusan. Don't think he married them when they were gayim. No, he converted them. But, says the Rambam, Lefisha Gir Shlomo Nashim Vinasan Vadavar Yadua Shalo Chazru Elo Elabishvil Davar. Why did they convert? Because Shlomo wanted to marry them. Because they were going to become part of the Malchus. They didn't convert for proper reasons. Chashvan Hakasuv Ki'ilu Hein Goyos Ubi Isuran Omdin. It was as if the Torah the Navi considers them. And then the Rambam says, and you see that they were basically Goyim, in that they brought him over to Avodah Zarah. The Ocho Chiech Sofon Atchilasan, Shehin Ovdos Avodah Zarah Shelahen, Ubanu Lahen Bamos, the Ha'el Al Vakasav Ki'ilu Hubana'an, Shenemar Oz Yivne Shlomo Bana, right, he quotes a pasuk in our Perek, right? So you see, what kind of conversion was that if they still worshipped Avodah Zarah? So, says the Rambam, they were converted, but it was as if they weren't converted. The Radak here is not sure. He seems to say that they did not convert. But in any case, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out, you're not allowed to marry someone from Moav, right? The men from Moav, right? I'm sorry. The women from Moav, okay, I'm sorry. You could marry, I got it wrong, you can't marry a Mitzris first generation. And that's what she was. Or Ammon. Ammoni, right there. Adomi. Adomi, you have to wait a couple generations, right, to marry, as the Pasuk says at Kiseitse. So it seems like he did have Aaron. It seems like he married people that he weren't supposed to marry, even if they converted. Very difficult. The nations that Hashem said to keep away from, he didn't keep away from. Because they will turn your heart. Hashem, Shlomo brought them in. And again, the Arizal says he brought them in to cause them to love Hashem. Right, but again, it was not the right time. 1,000 wives. Right? Seems like the number is specifically given, 700 and 300, vayatu nashav es libo. Right? And they turned his heart. They turned his heart, even though he said, they're not going to turn my heart. The Navi says that that's what happened. Vayahi pasuk dalad, vayahi le'es zikra shlomo, nashav itu es levavo, acharei elohim acherim, even other gods, velohai levavo shalim im Hashem alokav, kilvav David aviv. Right? His heart wasn't like the heart of David. And as we said, if it's mamash avodah zarah, the pasuk wouldn't say that. Right, he wasn't on the same level, but you know he allowed them to be near him, and that's the problem. Vayash Shlomo hara b'nei Hashem, and therefore Shlomo was considered as if he did ra in the eyes of God, and he did not fill the makom, fill the position as he should have. And then the pasuk even continues. Oz Yivnesh Shlomo Bama. Shlomo built a Bama. The Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Nun Vav, he allowed it to be built. And if he allowed it to be built, so then it's as if he built it. Right? If you don't protest when something happens, he allowed it to be built. L'shikutz Moav Bahar Hashal Pnei Yerushalayim. Right? He built this Bama on across Ulamolech, right? All these other gods. The Abarbanel and the Malbim says, Imamish built this. Again, very difficult to say. So the Gemara says he allowed it to be built. But the Abarbanel is a different pshat. No. Shlomo was a chacham mikol adam. He wanted to understand all the forces and all the powers of the world. So he studied and learned from all of these wives all the ways to bring down the power of the Avodah Zarah. Assuming there is power, which is a machlokas rishon, and where there is power from those forces. But let's assume that there are, the Ramban and others, that there is power. So that's what is meant. He says, how do I bring down Shefa from Kamosh? How do I bring, and you're not allowed to do that. Right, he was doing Yil Hashem just to learn about it, and the wisdom. But this was considered a chait. And therefore Hashem gets very angry. Vayisanav Hashem b'shlomo. Hashem gets very angry. Ki natala vavo meyim Hashem elokei Yisrael hanira elav pa'amayim. Hashem appeared to him twice in Givon and also after he davened. And Hashem said, this is what you do. You turn away. And he says, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayomer Hashem l'Shlomo. Hashem says to Shlomo, obviously through a Navi, because he didn't appear to him again. So through a Navi, he says, Yan asher haisa zosi mach, v'lo shamarta v'risi v'chukosa, you didn't keep my treaty, asher tzivisi alecha, karoa ekres hamamlacha mi'alecha. I will tear away the malchus. Just like David, his father, got the malchus with a tearing, so to hear, Shlomo loses the malchus with a tearing. Unisati ala avdecha, and I will give it to your servant, as we'll see to your Ravam. Ach b'yamecha lo esena l'ma'an David avicha, miad bincha ekra'ena. Not in your lifetime, but in your son's lifetime. The Malbim notes here, that why not in his lifetime? Because Hashem promised David that it was going to be Shlomo's, without any conditions. So it couldn't be in Shlomo's lifetime. After Shlomo's, then it could be in his son's lifetime. But that's why it happened. And what did it say? Rachas hamamlacha lo ekra. I'm not going to rip it totally from him. Shevet echad. Etain lebincha. I will give your son one shevet, but all the rest are going to Yeravam, the other side. The Radak says here, as many psukim in Tanakh emphasize, and especially in Sefer Malachim, Yehuda and Binyamin are considered one shevet. Even though they're like two, but they're considered one for these purposes, right? What does the Pasuk say? You're only going to have one Shevet. What do you mean one Shevet? He has Yehuda and Binyamin are both going to stay with David HaMelech's family. The answer is they're nechshav one Shevet, right? The Yerushalayim goes through those two Shvatim, right? The border of Yehuda and Binyamin are right through Yerushalayim. They're considered one Shevet that will stay with your son, Laman David Avdi, Ulaman Yerushalayim HaShavacharti. For the sake of David and for the sake of Yerushalayim, again, we see the connection between those two. We mentioned the Briska Rav in past Shiurim, but says Hashem to Shlomo, this is what's going to happen. And here we have it start happening. Pasuk Yudalid, we have the enemies. Vayakam Hashem Satan l'Shlomo. Who starts against Shlomo? Number one, Hadad ha'Adomi. Who is that? The Navi describes that David and Yoav had wiped out Edom. Hadad, a little boy at the time, had run to Mitzrayim. And now he's grown up. He even became the brother-in-law of the king of Mitzrayim. He always wanted revenge. Now he hears, the Pasuk describes, he hears that David has died and Yoav has died. He's ready to come back. And the Pasuk doesn't, the Pesukim don't describe it, but it just says that he's caused tzaris for Shlomo towards the end of his life. So some type of enemy, some type of fighting occurred. We just don't know the details. There is a detail, one other ha'ara, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. The Pasuk says that Hadad heard, Ki shachav David imavosav v'chimeis Yoav. There's a difference between how death is described. David lay with his fathers and Yoav died. The Rashi quotes the Gemara. There are two differences between how David died and how Yoav died. David died. Yoav was killed. That's the difference between shachav imavosav. He lay with his fathers. David died. Normal death. And Yoav died because he was killed, number one. And number two, David left a son who was Mamala Makomo. David had left somebody who could fill his space. That's why it also says Shachav. It doesn't say that he died because he lives through his son. Well, Yoav did not, and that's why it says that. So Vayomer lo Paro, so Paro then says to Hadad, who was living with him, Hadad says, I want to go back to fight David. I want to fight Shlomo. So he says, why are you leaving? Everything is great here. He says, no. I want to go. What do we have to know all these details? Right, the Radak asks that he was married to the brother-in-law and he had this, he had that, because it shows how much he hated, how much he wanted revenge. He had everything in the world in Mitzrayim, but he had to leave, he had to get back, because he needed revenge. That is what the Navi says. So that's one Satan. Then the next Satan, the next enemy of the state, Pasuk of Gimel, is Rizon ben El Yada. That's the second one that also caused problems for all the days of Shlomo, meaning in this time period. And finally, Pasuk of Vav, the Yeravam ben Nevat. We are introduced to Yeravam, who we're going to talk about over the next couple of prakim, what he started and what he ended. Yeravam ben Nevat, who Efrati, right? He was the one that was going, he is called an Eved L'Shlomo. He's from Shevet Ephraim, and he caused problems. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Aleph, who was Nevat, his father? So the Gemara has two suggestions. One said that it was Micha. Micha, who brought an idol, right, at the end of Sefer Shoftim. He set up a whole idol up north, so Yeravam's going to be up north also, setting up an alternate Beis HaMikdash. But the other opinion is that Nevat was Sheva ben Bichri, who we just had at the end of Sefer Shmuel Beis, who rebelled against David and was killed. Towards the end of David's career. So maybe it's his son. So now he's rebelling against David's grandson. Either way, maybe it's literal. Maybe he's just following their footsteps. The Abarbanel says he wasn't literally related to them. But Yeravam ben Nevat, he comes onto the scene. And what did he do? Pasuk Chav Zayin, Zeh Hadavar, Asher Herim Yad Bamelech. He lifted up his hand against the king. What did he do? What do you mean he lifted up his hand against the king? So two pshatim. Number one, Shlomo banaz hamilo, sagaris peretz ir David aviv. The Gemara, then Rashi and the Radak both quoted, Shlomo, there was a big open area in Yerushalayim. We mentioned this a couple of prakim ago. And it was used for the people to gather b'shas aliyah l'regel. Shlomo closed up that area because he wanted to build a house for his wife, the daughter of Paro. So everybody was very upset about that, but nobody had the guts to say anything to Shlomo because he was the king. Yeravam said something. Yeravam had the chutzpah to stand up and say, look what you did! Look what you did! The Gemara says that's why he was Zocha. Because he gave Tochacha to Shlomo. The problem was because he did it in public. If he wouldn't have done it in public, it would have been proper. But that's why Yeravam did the same act, the Ber Moshe says. You could do the same act, it's a mitzvah and it's an avera at the same time. Right? He did something great, but he did it in public, and therefore, he did not, his malchus did not, already was tainted. That's number one shot. There is another chazal. Chazal tells, the Tur quotes this, the Tur in Hilchas Tfilin, in Simen Lamed Ches, quotes the chazal. The Gemara says that a student is not supposed to take off his tfilin in front of his Rebbe. Or an Evan in front of a master is considered disgraceful, because I'm going to bare my head in front of my Rebbe, in front of my master. So Yeravam took off his tfilin in front of David, and in front of Shlomo, and that was the Morad B'Malchus. Excuse me, that was the Morad B'Malchus. Question is, what's the significance of that? There's a beautiful thought in the Margolius Hayam on Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Aleph, where this Gemara is quoted. He quotes an unbelievable thought as follows. Shlomo HaMelech, take a step back. Tfilin Shel Rosh symbolize our thoughts. Tfilin Shel Yad symbolize our actions. Shlomo said, you know what? I can marry, and I'm not going to worry about it. I could, to get a lot of money, I'm not worried about it. I could get a lot of horses. So meaning, he said, as long as my thoughts are okay, I don't have to worry about the actions. Yeravam was teaching him by taking off the Tfilin Shel Rosh. He says, you can't just have machshava. Right, what happens? You take off the Tefillin Shel Rosh, what do you have on? Tefillin Shel Yad. Your Maisim. That's what Yeruvim was teaching him by taking off his tefillin in front of him. That's the message. He was saying, Shlomo, you can't just base your Judaism based on thoughts, actions. If there's a mitzvah, he was giving him Musar like that. He was saying, you can't decide, oh, not to do an Avera because you think that this is what the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do. That's the symbolic idea of taking off one's tefillin. It is ironic that according to the first pshat, this was all about Yeruvim getting upset at Shlomo. You're now leaving room to be Ola Regel for the people coming up. We'll see in the future Prakim, he was the one, Yeruvim, that was against Aliyah Regel. He tried to get everybody to come up north. So Dafka, what he fought for at the beginning, right, he lost at the end. Okay, last section. Vayehi bo Esahi. So what happens, Yeruvim comes out of Yerushalayim. Vayimso oto. Achia Hashiloni finds him. The Malbim says here, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says here that sometimes finding doesn't mean by chance. Finding means on purpose. Right? Achia found him on purpose. He was looking for him, and he found him there, and this is where he gives him, he takes his Salma. It's not clear if it's his own Salma or Yeruvim's Salma, 2 days in the Radak, and he takes it, he rips it into 12 parts, he gives 10 of them to Yeruvim and says, this is the symbol, you're going to be the king over 10 Shvatim. The Malbim says, a prophecy with an action associated with it is never changing. So he was saying, for sure, this is what's going to happen, there's no turning back, and he tells Yeruvim, because Shlomo HaMelech sinned, and therefore, this is what needs to happen. There is an interesting machlokes. Who was Achia Hashiloni, this Navi that told Yeruvim that he was going to be the king? If you look at the Rambam has a little introduction to Mishnah Torah, where he goes through the Shalshelas HaMesorah, from Moshe to Yoshua, v'chulu. He says Achia Hashiloni went out of Mitzrayim. He was very, very old. Miyoti Mitzrayim Haya. And Levi Haya, Vishama mi Moshe, Achia nu Moshe Rabbeinu, he was very small. And he was the one that accepted the Masorah from Moshe Rabbeinu, from David HaMelech, and then he gave it to Eliyahu HaNavi, etc. He was major. The Ravid, right there in the Hakdama of Mishnah Torah, he says, what is the Rambam talking about? Achia got it from David, he was much older than David. How can you say he was a student of David? So he argues, he says, no, he never went out of Mitzrayim. The Kesef Mishni here defends, right, one of the few comments of the Ravid on the Hakdama of the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. They argue about who Achia Hashiloni was. But either way, we now have the prophecy that Shlomo is going to lose the Malchus, and at the end of the Perek, after Achia says to Yeruvim, so it's up to you. It's up to you. If you follow, then you're going to last. But you should know, the Achia says to Yeruvim, it's not going to be forever. There's going to be a time, in Pasuk Lamed Tes, Ach lo kol hayamim, there's going to be a time when the Malchus is going to go back to one. It's going to go back to Malchus based David, right? Rashi and the Radak both say this is referring to Yemos HaMashiach, when the Malchus will all go back to David HaMelech. There is another Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid in the first parak of Hilchos Malachim. So what would have happened if Yeruvim wouldn't have sinned? Let's say he would have been a tzaddik. What would have happened? So the Rambam says it still would have. He wouldn't have the Malach. He wouldn't be a Melech forever because it said they would go back. And the Ravid says no. Maybe he would have had a secondary Malchus, but he wouldn't have been the ultimate. He would have had a secondary. But it's interesting to think about what would have happened if he never would have sinned. But either way, the parak ends off by saying in Pasuk Mem Aleph, if you want to know anything else about Shlomo, Halohin Ksuvim Al Sefer Divrei Shlomo. Look in the other books of Shlomo, which mean, the Radak says, Mishlei, Shir HaShirim and Koheles, the other books of Shlomo, and other history books, if you want to know more about Shlomo, because we only have a few prakim here about Shlomo HaMelech. And finally, Vayishkav Shlomo in Mavosav, Shlomo dies a normal death at age 52, and he's buried in Ir David, and Rechavam, his son, takes over. So this parak really sets the stage for the entire rest of Sefer Malachim. Right, the Malchus is going to be split all the way until the Churban Bayis. Right, and also played a role in the Churban Bayis, in the Sinas Chinam that was had, and all the Avodah Zarah and all the Aveira that took place. Okay, we'll have to stop here.